Well, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
You know, as Chris was finishing that last song, I was sensing the overwhelming, unfathomable, everlasting, amazing, extraordinary love that God has for every single one of you. Not the person sitting next to you, not the person sitting behind you, you. The overwhelming love. And that's what this day is all about. The overwhelming of God, love of God, for God so loved the world. And, yet, and last night at our Christmas Eve services, which I think we finally got it right, we balanced the two services out, ended up being like both services were pretty full. But I had a moment in the first service in which I think I experienced the joy of heaven like I've never experienced it for years and years. I was just immersed in the joy of God. I think we were singing No Surprise, O Holy Night. And I just felt like I could fly to heaven. I felt so happy. Look, I want to give a special welcome to anybody who is here for the very first time. If you're here for the very first time, you just raise your hand. Just first time you're here. Good. One, two. All right, two, I think it was three. Welcome. I just want to especially welcome you. And I want to especially welcome you. This is a joy to have you here and right up here in the front. So I want to, if horns are blaring or there's noise or whatever, it's okay. This is the kind of world we live in. I'll just talk over the horns. Now, you know I can do that. Now, Nan's told me, now Jay, I don't want you to get too excited this morning because you've got candles in front of you from last night. I'm afraid you might get excited and kick a candle and it'd be flying out there towards one of you, but I'll be very careful, I promise. So I want to piggyback off of the statement that I made last night concerning the words that we sing at Christmas time, the Christmas carols, that those words are so very familiar to us that the full depth of the meaning of those words oftentimes just passes us right by. And so I just thought I'd take three or four Christmas carols and just take a stanza out of ones that I picked. I could have picked there's hundreds of great words, but I just wanted to pick a couple of stanzas of very familiar songs that we sing and just want to like press in to the words that are in those songs. So, Nan, if I could have the first song. The first song we sang this morning, Joy to the World. I was like, I'd forgotten that George Frederick Handel had written that song. He's the guy that wrote Handel's Messiah. I think the Ellis's went there this year, and I know it was a beautiful experience for them. But he wrote Joy to the World. I just want to look at the first stanza here. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. I mean, just, that's a stunner, you guys. That's a stunner. God came to earth. Think of that one. I used to use a pulpit, but I don't do that. I go to bang the pulpit. The Lord has come. The Lord has come. Right. He came for Nate Ellis. He came for Don Sweats. He came for Linda Johnson. He came for Kirsten Ford. He came for every single one of you. The Lord has come. And he didn't come and have such a great time for a lot of his time here. He knew what was in store for him, but he came. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. So the big question is, he's come, but have you opened your heart and given him room there. Have you said yes to this one that's come for you and says, I knock at the door of your heart, and if you'll just but open that door, I'll come in. Do you just believe that Jesus has come, or have you actually made that personal in your life? And if you've never said to Jesus, Lord, come into my life, come into my heart, today, this Christmas morning, could be the day for you where Jesus becomes very, very dear to you in a very personal and real way. Jesus says, I've come to give you life. The whole world out there is looking for life. Now, all along, it's found in Christ. And if you've never asked him in, I encourage you to do so this morning. Next song. It came upon the midnight clear, written by Edmund Sears. And you beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. Isn't that what life feels like sometimes? Life is difficult. Life is crushing. Life can bend you low. You can toil. And sometimes the steps are painful and slow. Not always. But Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation. And then it says, look now. In other words, you don't have to stay crushed and beaten down. Look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. What poetry this is. Oh, rest beside the weary road. Yeah, you're weary and the road's weary and life's weary, but you can rest in it. I've said this a million times and I'm going to keep saying it. You can live under your circumstances, or you can just live right above them. It doesn't mean you're not weary, you're not tired, things aren't hard. Maybe things went pretty bad last week. But you can rest, and you can trust God, and he will help you live up here, not under here. Oh, rest beside the weary road, and hear the angels sing. Next one. Hark the Herald Angels Sing by Felix Mendelssohn, one of the great composers like Handel of all time. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. How many here would like a good dose of light and life, huh? Come on, every hand should have been up for that one. Risen with healing in his wings, mild he lays his glory by. Now that's a stunner. And Jeff read last night from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, that great kenosis passage of Jesus leaving and allowing the Father to take all his glory of heaven and come to earth humble as a man. He lay all that aside, born that man no more may die. When Adam and Eve sinned, what was the first thing God said to them? Well, now you're going to die. And Jesus has come and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he would humanly die, will yet never die. For Jesus gives us eternal life. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them a second birth. That just ties right back in to the first one. Have you given Jesus room in your heart? And when you do that, you experience the second birth. Next song. O come, Emmanuel, which was a Latin hymn. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell thy people save and give them victory over the grave. And how many of you know that when you read your newspaper and turn the news on, you can see the tyranny of the enemy? We see it everywhere in terrorism, and we see it in all kinds of stuff going on in our world, all kinds of shenanigans and bad stuff. Jesus came to free us from Satan's tyranny. And he's come, and all of you in this room, you have no idea what God set you free from, what God has delivered you from, what could have happened to your life if Jesus hadn't stepped in. How many know that your life could have been pretty messed up if Jesus hadn't stepped in? Boy, Nan got her hand up really fast. And I get mine up. My life, like, wouldn't have been so good, I'll tell you right now. All right, next, this is the last one. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus by Charles Wesley, who I believe was as significant to the Wesleyan revival as his brother John, who founded Methodism. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, Born to Set Thy People Free. We are free today, everybody. This Christmas morning, you can say in your heart, I am free today. I am not bound. I am not caught up in sin and living for myself or the enemy. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, Born to Set Thy People Free. From our sins and fears release us. Let us find our rest in Thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth Thou art. Dear desire of every nation, the joy of every longing heart. And I picked this song for that last two words. Everybody's heart in this world is longing for something. Last night, people were all running around trying to fill that emptiness inside them. And that deep longing that we all have felt is satisfied and filled and fulfilled when Jesus comes and fills us up. And you say, well, I'm not really feeling that this morning. Then all you have to do is one little prayer. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Like, if you're not feeling it this morning, and you know what? The Christmas season, it's a little challenging, isn't it? It's kind of hectic and busy and trying to figure out, where do I go next? Do I go over here or there? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings and all of that. God's here for us. God's here for us. He's here to fill your longing heart and my longing heart. So that's the last song. But does that help? Like when you, next time you sing these songs, like, look deeply at the words. They are glorious and they are amazing. All those hymns, those stanzas that we just looked at, tell us how dramatically Jesus changes lives. And I want to read a letter that we got here at the church to you that gives a good example of somebody who wrote to us and Jesus met them where they were. My name is Robert. I'm not going to tell you his last name. I write to you from Soledad Prison. Until 11 months ago, I'd lost over a decade to opiate use. Several times I tried to quit, but then found Jesus and I surrendered my life to Him. I believe God allows us to stumble, and it is then that we find Him. Had I not been addicted to heroin, I'm not sure I would ever have found my way to salvation. But because of Jesus, I am sober today. Being active in a 12-step AA program, I am currently working on step 9, making amends. Once I started writing to the multitude that I've wronged, I realized I didn't have enough postage to mail all the letters. So I'm reaching out to a couple of churches near my home. My home is all of Orange County. If you have it in your heart, would you please help me with a book or two of postage stamps? I'm not asking for any money, just stamps, to write the 30 to 35 more letters to people that I've heard. I've finalized 21 so far. Thank you. I want you to know I've understood this, that receiving Christ does not mean that my life is suddenly perfect. But what it does mean is I can worship my Creator now and one day enjoy the beauty of heaven for all eternity. And it means that I am no longer stumbling through life alone. Pretty cool little letter, huh? Postscript. A few weeks later, we got a second letter. Dear Pastor, I don't remember sending the... Did you send the stamps? I don't remember who sent the stamps. Dear Pastor, I received 2 books of stamps. I cannot begin to tell you how huge a help this is for me, because now I've completed 37 letters to make amends with people whom I've hurt from my past. Sending you my most sincere gratitude. Lord, we pray for Robert right now. This man who is experiencing probably his first Christmas, we bless him. And I thank you, Lord, that you have reached deep down into his life and that I can share his little story with us this morning. All right, let's turn to Luke chapter 1, and I'm just going to do a reading, and then we're going to close with just a couple of comments from the reading, because I know you all have lots of things to do. We read this last night. I'm going to read just a dozen verses, Luke chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 26 through 38. In your pew Bible, it's on page 855. That's what I'm reading from. I like usually use if I'm going to teach a lot out of the passage, I usually use the New American Standard, but this has a nice read to it. So I'm just going to read this and then make a couple of comments on Mary's situation. In the sixth month, Luke 1, verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, trying to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." I'm just going to stop there for a second. Do you know how many billions of women have been born? Talk about a special young lady. Like, what was it in her that was so special? God knew. He saw. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, wouldn't you say the same thing? Like, well, if we said it in modern day vernacular, like, are you kidding me? Like, what the heck? What are you saying to me? Well, actually, this text says, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy." Boy, we sang some great songs this morning with the theme of Jesus being holy, the Son of God. "And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." All right. Underline this one, underline this one, underline it again. Four underlines under this one. "For nothing will be impossible with God." Nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Wow. Nothing is impossible with God. As this year winds down, 2016 winds down, and 2017 is about to begin. What has seemed impossible to you? What seems like it can never happen? What are you totally buried under? And you just don't feel like God hears your prayers, and you've just been stuck. Maybe it's illness. Maybe all year long you've been dealing with illness or sickness, and you've prayed and you've had people pray for you, and it just doesn't get any better yet. I want you to know that with God, nothing is impossible. That illness of yours that you have just sort of said, "Well, I guess God's not paying attention," or "I don't know what's going to happen." And if somebody's listening online, which they do, and can't even make it to the service because of their illness, I want them to know all things are possible with God, and I believe your miracle is coming. Perhaps you've got a broken heart this morning, and you've asked God to mend your broken heart. It's been shattered because someone or someones have hurt you, betrayed you, took the life out of you for a long time. And you've asked God over and over, "God, would you mend my heart? would you, I'm tired of struggling with the past. How many of you would like to leave the past behind? Like, just please God. Lord, mend my heart. I tell you God will, because with him, nothing is impossible. Maybe your marriage is struggling. Maybe you're tired and weary and exhausted of all the stuff that's going on in your marriage, and you are frustrated to no end. And you don't see anything changing much, and you just go, God, I've prayed for so long, and this marriage isn't getting any better. I'm telling you, God can take your marriage and turn it around. And I would not even ask God to renew your marriage. I would ask God to give you a new marriage if you're fitting into what I'm saying. Because with God, all things are possible. And speaking of that, if you're single and you've been praying for a long time, God, bring me someone who will love me. Someone, a young man or a young woman or older man or older woman, depending how old you are. And I've wanted a companion and somebody loved me for so long, and it just hasn't happened. Oh, you are fortunate that it hasn't happened yet, because God's timing is perfect. He will bring along the right person. I just keep thinking of Barb Shupe, like almost 50 years of age, and God brings along the right young man to court her and love her. And you're just wondering, God, is God ever going to do this? And you've been tempted just to go out there and, well, I just think I'll go to the Dirty Bird tonight, you know. I'll go down to the Marine Room, you know, and maybe I'll just go out there and have a fling for a while. And then you said, no, I am so proud of you. And I'm keeping my gaze off two or three out there. So you won't think I'm talking about you. With God, all things are possible. I promise you, God will bring the exact right, young or old, man or woman, for you. Because God loves you and he's going to take care of that. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you need reconciliation with. You need reconciliation for that person. You've just had a broken relationship for a long time. And maybe like 6, 7, 10 years, who knows? Just somebody won't talk to you. I know 4 or 5 different people like that. Just want you to know, with God, that relationship can be reconciled. We'll just keep praying about it. And we'll just keep. And I know there's some of you out there, God has made some progress in relationships that were difficult for you. Just a couple more, and then we'll stop. You've had a dream. I don't know what that dream is or was, but you've lost hope for your dream. Maybe, well, I was talking to a young girl at the sawdust the other day, and she showed me some silk painting that she did, and I said, that's fantastic. Go for what you love to do. Well, she said, I'm not sure I can do this. I said, just if you have a passion for something, what is it that you've had a dream about and it's just kind of like gone out the window? Maybe you want to be a writer or a dancer or some kind of artist, painter or ceramist or whatever it was. I just want to do something different in my life. I want to write a book. I want to create something. I want to invent something. Like, do it. Go for it. Renew that dream of yours, because with God, all things are possible, and he will take that seed desire of yours, join it with your effort and your discipline and your commitment to what you want to be, and he will bring it to pass. Because with God, that dream of yours is possible. What is your biggest dream? What is your biggest hope? What is it you really want to do in life? Go for it. All things are possible. And then finally, I'll just end here. I'm just going to mention a tough one, which is people who have been in addiction. People who have struggled this past year with various kinds of things that are very hard for them, and my heart goes out to you. Whether it's alcohol or drugs, pornography, whatever it might be. Really stuff that you've not wanted to continue in, and you've prayed and asked God to help you. Maybe it's, you know, there's addictions of attitude, by the way. Negativity, criticism, self-pity. These things that we find ourselves, the old tapes that just keep playing over and over. What's wrong with me? Why did I do that? How come I was that way? Why is God not changing this in my life? Whatever the addiction might be, and we all have those things, from little to major things, with God, all things are possible. And I'm going to believe that 2017 is going to be a year in which the what seems to you to be impossible, in fact, not only becomes possible, but you see the birth of it. You see the fruit of it. And I believe God wants to do that for every single one of you. I think there was something I touched on for every single one of you.